Morning, so relax. I want you to sit back and just, but before we do that, I'm gonna do something different again this morning, not for the sake of just being different, but I felt it in my heart. But if we can just bow our heads, close our eyes right now, and if you pray with me this morning, we're going to invite Jesus this morning. And he's supposed to be here every Sunday, but this morning it's a little bit different. So if you can pray with me this morning and say, Lord Jesus, I invite you this morning to walk into my world and touch me this morning. Amen. Amen. God is going to answer that prayer, because if you prayed that with a heart, a hunger heart, with a desperate or desperate heart, not because I preach or anybody is here, nobody or somebody performs a song, only because he's faithful to his word. That's only when we are hungry, when we cry out to him, he reacts to that, because there's one thing, and we'll get to that. But I want to do something different. Like I said, I haven't got slides up here, so you can just enjoy this morning when Jesus is walking into this room, which I believe he's about to do in a few moments. And are we going to go like that? No. In your spirit, there's something I believe God wants to do this morning. So the theme, my sermon this morning, is A Day with Jesus. I took a few events from the Gospels, some key ones, which I believe God wants to say something here this morning and touch you. And I brought them together to combine them and make them in one day. So I'm not saying theologically that that's all that happened in the day, so don't crucify me for that. But it's my sermon. I'll preach it like I'd like to, want to. But for this moment, for this few minutes, allow me just to sketch the picture about Jesus in his ministry. He was about 30 years old. It was some time for him to start his earthly ministry. The Bible says he was roughly about 30 years old. The next morning, Jesus had a big assignment. And that night, Jesus spent in prayer, as his habit was doing, or he was doing it early in the morning. As the Bible would say, he would go in the deserted place praying to his Father. But that specific night, Jesus knew this wouldn't be another morning. Tomorrow morning when the sun rises, my life is about to change because I'm fulfilling what God has called me to do. And Jesus was spending time with his Father. Father, tomorrow morning I have to pick a few men that's going to do it with me. Who would that be, Lord? I really don't know, Lord, but God, give me wisdom right now. Father, I need you. I need to know that. Lord, right now I need to know where to go. Where and where should I stand still? Who should I invite? Who should I call? But Father, I want to be obedient to what you called me to do. So Jesus spent all night in prayer. And the next morning, he was refreshed, he received wisdom, because Jesus was used to spending time in prayer with his Father. How do you make big decisions, my friend, this morning? When you get to things, heavy decisions, is it a quick, oh Lord, help me, give me wisdom, flip the switch, push the button of the microwave, 10 seconds, God, I need the answer. And I'm not saying you should spend all night in prayer. It's just Jesus' example of how he approached everything was through prayer. The morning he started with prayer. It was his habit. It was his lifestyle. How's your intimacy with the Lord looking right now at this moment? How's your day starting? How are you making big decisions? How are you approaching your marriage? How are you? Is it birthed in prayer out of a place of, Father, I acknowledge that right now I do not know, but Father, I know you know the answer. And I'll just step into that channel, that source, and thank you, Father, I receive that right now. And Jesus left there the next morning, and he's walking all along the seashores there, and he's getting to a place there where a few men were just washing their nets. They're busy getting ready for the next morning. That morning, their lives would change forever. Heaven would invade earth that morning. Little did they know at that moment that somebody's going to walk into their life right now or right at that moment and pose a question that will forever and ever change their destiny. I've had moments like that. I don't know about you. When I wake up that day, my life changed completely because the Master decided to walk into my life. And you do not know this morning but I believe that today is such a day where God is going to walk into your life and is going to touch you this morning and change you forever. One encounter that morning, they were sitting there just getting ready. I can see them talking about the previous day catch, and maybe we should go a little bit further up. Yesterday we caught fish there at mile 14. It's not there today. That kind of conversation we sometimes hear about the radio. Now the fish is there now, and then you go there and it's not there. But normal fishermen, you know, having a chat, and then Jesus walks in and he says to them, "Hello, I'm Jesus, follow me. Follow me." Just that's what we read in the Bible. And then we know these men didn't have, they had split seconds to make a decision. They didn't have a 2-week period to go and fast and pray about this whole thing. Is this now from the Lord or not? I can see what's going through their mind. This is my job. This is my security. This is my comfort. How am I going to carry on from here? I've got children in school and all of that, maybe. But something in their spirit clicked when Jesus said, "Follow me." I believe their spirits recognized, spirit met with spirit at that moment. They had a decision, a split second, to make a call, yes or no, or maybe later. When God is coming to you and me sometimes in our lives, and he's walking into the midst of that, and when we feel like I'm just comfortable right now, and God says, "Follow me." We pose that radical thing. He gives you that radical command. How long will you take just to obey the Master? Are we like Abram when God gives him the command to offer Isaac, that early the next morning I rise up and he's about to do to obey his Master? Or are we sometimes just contemplating, and God, I heard it wrong or somewhere. Maybe you got the wrong address here. God is surely not me. Or are we so at the place where we just want to hear his voice? The moment he asks me something, I know he wouldn't ask me something that I'm not able or capable of, because he already saw my future well in advance. He knew it already. Although I'm like Gideon at this moment, God knows exactly where he's taking me. God knew, Jesus knew at that moment where he's taking those disciples. It was only for them to get to that place of, "Yes, Lord, I will do." So they answered him and they followed him. And then along the way, they found a man, a leper. How do I pronounce that? Help me. I wouldn't say leper. Then everybody's going to start smiling. And then eventually, they'll tell me afterwards. He found a leper. Bible says that he came, interesting to say, to see that. I saw that only when I prepared this week, that he came and he worshipped him. This man didn't know. He worshipped him. He fell down and said, "Jesus, if you are willing, heal me." It just gives us a different view on worship. But nevertheless, "Jesus, if you are willing, heal me from this leprosy." And Jesus looks at him and he says those beautiful words, "I am willing. Be healed." That is so heavy. That is so precious. Friends, God is still saying that. The words has never changed today. "I am still willing." When he walks into your life, right now, you're in the midst of trouble, you're in the midst of sickness, you're in the midst of place of, "God, are you willing? Are you here? Can you hear me?" Jesus would say to you right now, "I'm still willing." I know theology has changed all of kinds of. We're trying to argue around that, and what if, and if this happens, and la la la. Jesus is saying, "I am willing, be healed." And it might feel to you right now that, "God, I don't see you. I doubt your faithfulness, your goodness. Are you going? I am willing. I'm willing as much as I was willing 2,000 years ago when I healed that man from leprosy." And they were walking, and they were walking through a little town, and one of the rulers of the town came to him and said, "Jesus." And I said, "Daddy, I can see the hunger. I can see the desperation of this man. He's approaching Jesus. And Jesus, my little girl is sick. Please, can you come with and just heal her as a father? Please, Jesus." And yes, Jesus says, "Yes, I'm on my way. I'll get there. I'm not going to tell you that part. You can read that for yourself. The daughter of Jairus. But somewhere in the middle of this, there's another story playing or taking part. There's a woman that has the flow of, or blood flow for 12 years. She's sick. But she heard about him. She heard about this Jesus that's coming by. He healed the people and he's this Messiah they're talking about. But there's so many people around Jesus. She just can't get to Jesus. There are a few obstacles in the way, but she made a decision that morning. Today is my day. I don't care about the people right now. Today is my day when I receive my healing. And irrespective of how many people around Jesus, I'm going to find a way and I can see myself with my spiritual eyes that she's walking through the crowd and they're all around her. She, sorry, I need to get to Jesus. Sorry. And the people are, oh, you're rude, just stay there. No, I need to get to him. At last, she falls down and she touches the hem of his garment. The Bible says at that moment when she touched his garment, power went out of him and she was healed. Not because the miracle is in the garment or somewhere. Because she reached out in faith, in desperation. Say that was a different thing. That moment when she touched him, in the midst of that crowd, Jesus stopped suddenly and he said, somebody touched me. Imagine the disciples. Jesus. Hello, Jesus. We are in the crowd. What do you mean somebody touched you? I can see so many funny moments with him. It must have been so. No, you don't understand. Somebody touched me differently this time. This person had a hunger. This person had a desperation. When she touched me, it was with faith. It was reaching out for something more. I felt that. And this morning, my brother and my sister, I want to say to you, if we come to God, we need to have that desperation of touching God with the faith like that woman, like that lady. God, I need this today. I'm at a desperate place. Right now, it's all or nothing. I want just a touch from you. And it's not just about having the touch and gooey, wooey, and we fall down and we do all the kinds of things. But when we get up, that lady, when she got up there that morning, she was changed. In the charismatic church, and we want the touch, and we want the feeling, we want the experience. But when we get up, our lifestyle is still the same like it was. And next Sunday, we're back for the touch again. That lady was touched by Jesus, and her life changed. And she went and testified because she was desperate for him. She was desperate for healing. When is the last time you touched the hem of his garment? When you say, Lord, it's enough. I'll break through the crowd. I'll break through the norm just to get into your presence. And it was about 10 o'clock. Time for tea or coffee. I joked about Slopetown. I say, they didn't go to Slopetown back then. We didn't have that. But Jesus said, Lord, let's just stop somewhere for a coffee. Walk with me here. And they're just walking through town. And I think, well, where will we go? Jesus thought, I'll stop at this man called Matthew. He's a tax collector. Jesus knew that. So he knocks on the door and says, Matthew, can we stop by? Do you have coffee at home? Oh, no, Lord, sorry. Please, not me. I'm a tax collector. Oh, sorry. Matthew heard about Jesus before. He probably knew about this. No, surely, Lord, I'm a tax collector. Sometimes I take a little bit more. No, Matthew, you don't understand. Right now, I want to enter into your world. I want to touch you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we are a new creation in Christ. God touched that man and he's a new creation. But now, the funny thing is, Jesus is sitting with Matthew, the tax collector. A lot of sinners come in. Now they have this meal. They have a good time having a cookie and a coffee, I want to say. And the Pharisees, they're just standing on the side here looking at this whole thing. See that? He's sitting with sinners. He's sitting with that tax collector that just took my money yesterday, that took 15% instead of 10%. Jesus is so associating with that bunch of people. See, there's truth in this whole story here, that those people would not feel welcome or comfortable unless Jesus made them feel welcome in his presence. Why would a sinner, a tax collector, sit and flock around Jesus if he didn't go out of his way to make them feel comfortable. I'm not talking about making sin comfortable. I'm talking about the person as such. How's your friends looking this morning, my friend? Is it looking like mine, where I have to preach to myself this morning and say, God, I've got so many Christian friends around me that you've got to deal me a wild card every now and then, that in the natural I feel like I do not connect. But God, I hear in the spirit, I got to hang in there because you've got a purpose with this relationship. And right now, it feels like everything inside of me, I just want to get out of this. God says, hang in there. And sometimes God needs to deal us that wild card of that person in your life that you feel is maybe just not my cup of tea, with all due respect towards any person here this morning, because we are different. But we tend to flock around the people we like, the popular, the maybe the famous, maybe, well, we haven't got fame, I don't know, we haven't got such people here in Swakopmund, this is not Hollywood. But maybe we just need to allow him to shuffle things around and people walk into our lives again that we would not normally in the natural choose. But somewhere inside of them, there's an hunger to be around you. And you do not know it. I do not know that. But they've got a desire because there's something of God inside of you. And they just want that. And they can't really put their finger on that. But they want that. And I want to opt out every now and then. God says, just hang in there. I sat down with Matthew. I sat down with the sinners. And yes, I saw the sin. And yes, I could say something about it. But Jesus knew about this whole thing about truth and love. When to love and when to apply truth. And there's a place and time for both of them. But many times we get this wrong. We want to get in and apply truth and just fix everybody instead of just loving first. And then there's a time when we can share the truth in love as well. But allowing God to lead us to that place where certain things are still accepted in his eyes. I'm not justifying that. They left Matthew's house. And now we get to the interesting part, where we're all involved many times. Jesus thought, well, before we go for lunch, we've got a couple of things we still have to do. Maybe we'll just stop by at the temple, see what they're doing down there. Oh, I love that. You know, we paint Jesus the way we would like him to be. I like those scriptures, and I can identify with that. And I've read so many books about this person. Say, no, Jesus is like this. He's this meek person. And many times is that what we like. And other ones, no, Jesus is the righteous one. And he, fire and brimstone. And yes, Jesus is all of that. But anyway, I like the fact that you sometimes see the softer side. You see the compassionate side of Jesus. And then you see the other side. Where he's walking into the temple. And he says, listen, he's taking his chair. So we're taking up an offering right now. Imagine that for one moment. I'm going to ask you, let's just do the offering. And Jesus, he takes his chair, he sits right next to the place where they put the money in. We would do offering like that. You know, I said in the first verse, I don't know who would be the most embarrassed. Me, just looking there. Oh, he put in 1,000 rand. And that didn't 10 rand, only 10 cents. Whatever it might be. Huh? Jesus sitting there watching what they're doing. But they're bringing the offering, they're bringing everything. Was open. How's your giving looking into, or how's your giving looking like this morning? Not just money this morning. Giving into God's kingdom. See, we put that, we hide that. Your time, yourself, even gets worse. Because Jesus, we are not supposed, the only people that were not comfortable around Jesus were the religious ones. They just didn't like him. If we didn't have the Holy Spirit, which I believe we do not realize what we have this morning. But suppose Jesus were still here on earth, he'll have to visit us one by one, or churches in that case. He's coming to Swakopmund next weekend. But I'm not going to tell you what time he's going to be here. He'll be here somewhere between 9 and 10. But he needs to visit a couple of churches. We don't know. He said he will be around. You just prepare. But he will be here for about 10 minutes. Probably he's here 8:30. He's here on time. And Shofar, I only have 10 minutes for you. I need to go to the other church down the road as well. I have to visit them as well. If Jesus was here from 12:30 till whatever, 22, how many of us would miss him? What I'm trying to say to you is the way we approach God, the way we come into his presence, the way we prepare ourselves, the way we come into worship, not halfway through it. Or maybe if I'm here, just be glad, pastor or leader, I'm here, count me in. Is the way we approach him with reverence and awe. To God, I've got an appointment with you right now. And you are not here, Jesus, but your Holy Spirit is here. You know exactly my ins, my outs. You can see the way I come to church, the time I come to church, the heart I bring to church, the way I worship, the way I give, everything. We forget about that so easily, that actually all of those things are known to him. And we lie to ourselves. I'm not saying to one another, to ourselves. And I want us to examine ourselves again to that place, or examine ourselves where we say, Lord, I want to approach you. I want to come to you with a prepared heart. I've got expectation. This morning, it's not going to be another Sunday. I'm desperate. They left and it's almost lunchtime and Jesus says, listen, I'm very hungry. I'll need to find a place where we can have lunch. But there's a man in the town. He heard about this Jesus. He was curious. I got to find out about this Jesus. Only problem was, he was so short, stature. There were so many people around Jesus, he couldn't get to Jesus. He's short, he can't see, he's not like me. But Zacchaeus made a plan. I'm not going to let my stature, what life has dealt me with, you know, I grew up in the backside there. And yes, I can blame that for 10 years, but no, right now, I might be a short man, but this is not going to be standing in my way. Or right now, there are so many people around Jesus, and I know it's impossible for me as a short man to get to Jesus. Right now, I'm just going to get into a tree, and I'm going to climb that tree. Almost I fell in. Carol, catch me. I'll get in the tree and I'll see where Jesus is because I'm curious, I'm hungry, I'm desperate, I need to see him. There's one thing that makes the master stops every time I found in the scripture is a hunger for him. Every time we approach him with a desperation, with a hunger, God will never leave you unfed, send you back home hungry. When you come with a heart and God, I'm hungry, spiritually speaking this morning. I've yet to find that scripture in Bible or that place where God is sending you and me back hungry and say, go and help yourselves. And Zacchaeus in the tree, and Jesus saw him, and he stops by, and salvation came to his house that day as a result of an hunger. How do you approach God? Are you desperate? Are you curious? Are you at a place of, God, I'll climb the tree? When is the last time you climbed the tree for God? When the world will look at you and say, what are you doing up there in the tree? Get down. But you do not care because I want to see him like Zacchaeus. And then after that lunch, they would just continue with the journey. Must have been so interesting with Jesus just walking around him. And there were two blind men, the Bible says, they're sitting down or next to the road. And they heard about this Jesus that's coming by. And suddenly when he's just close to them, Jesus, son of David, heal us. Shh. The crowd silenced them. No, Jesus, help me. I'm blind. Help me. No, you're too noisy. Calm down. Chill. The crowd will always tell you, you're too radical for Jesus. Calm down. Blend in. Don't be so abnormal for Jesus. But these men knew that their sight will depend on that meeting that day. And in effect, in reality, all of us are blinded by the God of this world that we need to become so desperate for our spiritual sight and say, Jesus, I do not care what the world thinks. They might call me radical right now. They might call me mad. But that's okay with me. They can think what they want to think. I need that spiritual sight. I need that touch. I'm hungry for you like that woman that went to touch the hem of your garment, like Zacchaeus, like these two blind men that are so desperate for him to touch them. And when they got to the Sea of Galilee, they got into the boat and they started rowing out. Jesus is with them in the boat. And then at one stage, we read in the Bible that the storm came up. It wasn't big boats like we have today. That time you felt the storm when you're in the midst of that storm. And the disciples started praying, "Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus?" And one answers, "Oh no, he's sleeping in the back of the boat underneath." "Oh no, I can't believe this. We're in the storm. Jesus is sleeping right now in the back of the boat." And sometimes we feel like that. That we're in the storm and you do not hear God's voice. And God, where are you? It feels like you're sleeping right now. I want to say to you that Jesus is still in the boat. And many times he's quiet. Many times we're going through the storm and it feels like we're going to sink right now. But God, where are you? And God's word to you is right now, "I'm still in the boat." At an appointed time, Jesus came up and he quieted the storm. "Be still, peace, be still." And right now, there's an appointed time when God will walk into your life and calm the storm. All you need to do is just to hang in there and say, "God, it feels like I'm going to sink right now, but I choose to believe that you're still in my boat." Make sure that Jesus is in your boat this morning. Because if he's not in your boat, then you have trouble when the storm gets there. And the winds and the water rage, we have trouble. They got to the other side of the boat. Sorry, not to the other side of the boat, the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when they came out there, or came to the other side, there's a man that came running to them. Demon possessed. The Bible says that they couldn't chain him, or they couldn't tie him up. He broke chains. Imagine that for a moment. We do not have people in this room as strong as that. I have done it before, but not now at the moment. But anyway. No. This man was so strong, he broke chains. When Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" he called him Legion, which means we are many. And when Jesus cast out those demons out of that man, he took 2,000 pigs to run down the steep of that hill, fall down into this. So many were there of them. But here's the point. Jesus crossed a storm from this side to that side for one man. Just to touch one man. An outcast in society. The one nobody else would mix with. Because he had one that's mad, there's demons in him. But Jesus knew that he needed to reach the other side of that sea to touch that man. And then the man comes to Jesus after he's been healed and he asks Jesus, "Jesus, please can I become a follower of you? Can I go with you with the disciples? Teach me. You've healed me. I'm so thankful." And then Jesus says something interesting. "No. I believe you would agree with me this morning that he asked him something good, something in, I wouldn't say in line with God's will, but something we would think is a good request. It's a good prayer request to ask Jesus, can I just follow you? Can I just be in your presence? I enjoy this so much." And Jesus says to him, "No." Because there's a reason why Jesus told him no. If you read church history, you'll find that when Jesus asked him to go back, he says to him, "No, go back to your country where you live, to that area, and you tell others about me." Many years later, we read in church history that there were great gathering of Christians in that area. But it started with a no from Jesus. And you might be at a place in your life when God says no right now, and it doesn't make sense to you. You feel like, "God, why are you saying no to me?" In my human understanding, this is a no for me right now. But I'll just choose to be obedient and do what you've asked me to do right now. I wanted to go through that door, but you said no. You asked me to stay here. And maybe in eternity's time, I will see that. Maybe you're not going to grant me the ability to see that, but I'll just be obedient. They finished off there and they crossed back to the other side. And as they were getting, sun was almost going down, they were approaching the city and Jesus is looking over the city. He saw the people. The Bible says when he saw the people and he saw that they are like a like sheep without a shepherd, he started crying, he had compassion for them. And then we get that famous scripture. When he saw the city, and I can imagine he saw the land ready to be harvested. The harvest is full, but the laborers are few. And Jesus started crying. In closure this morning, where are you when God is returning? If he were to return today, would he find you busy harvesting, reaping the harvest, working on the field where he's planted you? And that doesn't mean that you need to be in full-time ministry this morning. Can I make it clear? Just doing what God has called you to be or to do. Desperate for him, desperate for a touch for him, but at the same time, I'm busy in the field reaping the harvest. Or would he find you busy building the city of Pharaoh? Worldly things, speaking of all those kind of things that draw our attention. Let's close our eyes. I want us to just for a moment just sit there. Just I'm not going to ask the ushers to hand out the offering, but as soon as you receive, the communion. And we're just going to just contemplate upon this right now. I want to ask yourself, are you as desperate as you were when you just met him? Are you as hungry as these people were? Are you at that place where you just need to give yourself unto God again, rededicate yourself and say, God, I just give me back that hunger for you like that, Lord, that desperation. Somewhere along the line, I lost that, Lord. Maybe I'm now at a place where I find myself in the city of Pharaoh, busy building other cities and things. Lord, I want to get back into the field, busy reaping, doing what you called me to do.
To see your face, open my ears to hear your voice. Jesus, your body was broken, your blood was shed so I can live. You bound to bring me freedom. By your stripes I have been healed. By your death you gave me life. Jesus, the Lamb upon the throne. Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my Lord, Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, the Lamb upon the throne. Open my eyes to see your face. Open my ears to hear your voice. Jesus, your body was broken. Your blood was shed so I can live. You were bound to bring me freedom. By your stripes I have been healed. By your death you gave me life. Jesus, the Lamb upon the throne. Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, my Lord. Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, the Lamb upon the throne. Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, my Lord. Jesus, my Savior. Your blood was shed so I can live.
Jesus, my Savior.
Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, my Lord. Jesus, my Savior. Your blood was shed so I can live.
Your blood.
Your blood was shed so I can live. Shed so I can live. Yeah. Your blood was shed so I can live. Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, my
I want you just today, just where you are while that music is playing, just to do business with God right now. If you haven't taken communion, just do it in your time right now. But stay in this moment of consecration. Just do business with Him. Some of you, you need to say something. You need to return to a place where God has called you. Some of them, you just need to talk to Him right now. It's not my moment to pray for you. It's a moment between you and God. And this, as we close this service, just there, just sit there, just enjoy that moment. We're going to finish the song, or finish the service with a song as a declaration. Lord, it's all unto you.